as we begin to think about God's word, let's just commit it to the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll take my words this morning. As we think about the subject of money, I pray that the words that I use might be sensitive words. Lord, I pray that as we hear your word, I pray that you will just challenge our hearts where we need challenging. Encourage us where we need encouraging. But above all, as we think about what you have given to us, we want to rejoice and be thankful. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The prayer that Mark read from Proverbs chapter 30, I felt was quite challenging, and to get a balance right. Keep me from falsehood and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. These words, penned by Agur in the book of Proverbs, they request that God give him a lifestyle. A lifestyle that is financially balanced. He seeks neither poverty nor riches, but sufficient for his daily needs. And earlier in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually teaches his disciples to pray. And I wonder whether this, apart from Proverbs, was in Jesus' mind when he taught them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I'm sure you're aware that this week in the news, there have been stories about riches and about poverty. We've heard of an individual who strived his whole life to gain more and more money through financial transactions. An individual who sought, through his money, to silence the press by allegedly paying more than £500,000 for a non-disclosure agreement. We have money in here. We have evil in there. I wonder how closely the two really come together. So there's the news about the use of riches. On the other hand, poverty. I heard David Miliband say that there are 23 million Yemenis who are dependent upon international aid, and that many of them will starve through poverty. Not enough money to go round. And then Agur prayed that God would give him a financially balanced lifestyle. A lifestyle which I suggest is contrary to our world's lifestyle, which is a financially unbalanced lifestyle. But I think in our reading from Matthew today, we learn from Jesus that there is more to having a financially balanced lifestyle. Because he challenges us to focus our attention on having a lifestyle that is focused on God. A lifestyle focused on God, not on money. Jesus says that money can be a master. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot have your primary focus on money and on God. So in verse 24 of Matthew 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. But if our focus is right, if we're focusing on seeking God's kingdom, if we're focusing on seeking his righteousness, as Jesus implores us in verse 33 of Matthew 6, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And if we've got that right, then our daily needs will be something that we do not need to worry about. We cannot serve God and money. We cannot be seeking eternal treasure and earthly treasure at the same time, as we heard last week. But if we have the right balance of our focus, if our focus is on Jesus, then all the things that we might worry about are not a cause to worry. We needn't worry about our life, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, our bodies, our clothing, all things that actually need money to provide them. And my thinking here is that Jesus is saying, if we've got our focus right on him, our food, our drink, our clothing, and what we do with our bodies will actually naturally fall into place under a lifestyle focused on him. Yes, these are life essentials. But our God knows that we need life essentials. God feeds the birds of the air. God looks after the lilies. And if God can do that for that particular part of his creation, he can look after us. We need to get our focus right. Our focus on God. I was surprised at the results of our Who Cares survey. We did that this time last year. And none of the results from the Who Cares survey came back saying that people were worried about money. You know, I find that absolutely surprising. You know, knowing what situations there are, the debt that's around, you know, the tensions within families about money. And no one said they were worried about money. Well, maybe praise the Lord that we've got it right. Or could there be a conspiracy of silence about this? You might say, it's all right, you, Roger, standing up there at the front talking about money. But my personal situation is something that money is something I worry about. I want to suggest to you that maybe if that is the situation, well, you know, don't hang on to it. Maybe you need to, in confidence, share that with the church leadership. Maybe there are things that we can do to help. So I offer that as a practical suggestion. But one of the things I'm going to come on to, and you're going to get a sermon in two parts this week, so when I sit down in a few moments, don't think, it was a bit short. That our giving, when we come and think about our giving, it's something that is proportionate. And at this stage I want to say, I think as we realise how much God has done for us, how much God has given to us, how we take that on board, then that will shape our giving to MIE, to the wider church, to God's cause. Our giving will be proportionate to what our God has given to us. He gave his all for us in Jesus Christ. And we'll come back to think about that particular principle and other principles in giving a little later. So we give to God's church locally, nationally, and internationally. And as I was trying to get across in part one, we give to God's church in proportion to God's generosity to us. And we just pass that on to others. I want in this part to sort of give three words to help us think through our giving. And the first I think I've pretty well covered is our giving is proportionate. Our giving is proportionate. Well, do you want to actually quantify that, Roger, you might say? Well, yeah. We take the Church of England's guidelines, because it's based on the teaching from Scripture in the Old Testament, a teaching which involves tithing, giving a tenth. Now, the Church of England guidelines say that we should perhaps give a tenth to the whole gamut of God's work. And maybe a fifth or 5% would be what we give locally. But that's only a guideline. I remember having a conversation with Lionel some time back, and we were talking about tithing, and he said, well, that's only the starting point. Archbishop Centenary says, well, why not 20%? So there's a challenge for us. Our God is generous. Let's proportionally be generous back to God. So there's the first of the principles I'd like to underline about giving. The giving is proportionate. The second relates very much to it, and that giving is generous. And I was reminded of, well, from our passage about Solomon, and it took me to the building of the temple. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we have a record of God's people giving to the building of the temple. And there, King David set an example of giving to his people. He gave from his personal treasure for the building of the temple. And that example was taken up by the leaders of the clans, the leaders of the tribes, by the soldiers, the military commanders, by all the people. And they gave generously to the building fund, for the temple. They were building a place of worship that was fitting for a generous God. They could identify with the project that they were contributing towards. And God had given them the resources to make that building project come to fruition. I think God has given us a building project. Not a project with bricks and mortar as we had when we were building the church hall. But I think God has laid upon our hearts a building project which is building his kingdom here in the east of Ipswich. A project which will enable us and encourage us to reach out to those who live in our parishes to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is already happening through the generosity of you, the people here at MIE, as we've heard from Lionel, in supporting our staff. But as we go forward, we've heard that this generosity needs to continue. My father-in-law was a regional treasurer for the Gideon Bible Society, the organisation that places Bibles in schools and in hotels and that sort of thing. And more than once he said, I have just signed off a significant cheque to buy Bibles. And the following day, he would receive a cheque to cover that amount of money that he had just spent. God's people were seeing the generosity of God and sharing in a project they believed in. God encourages us to share in the building project because he is generous. So our giving should be proportionate. Our giving should be generous. And our giving should be intentional. For giving to be intentional, it needs to be thought through. It needs to be prayed through. I've already suggested the Church of England guidelines for giving. But I'm sensitive to the fact that some of you, married, may have joint bank accounts. That your partner does not share your Christian views. And therefore you need to think through what Scripture says and pray through what Scripture says. Perhaps we need to think intentionally, as Paul challenged the church at Corinth to think intentionally, where he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. I think Paul is telling his churches that they need to be intentional. They need to think about how much money they are going to set aside. They need to pray about how much money they're going to set aside. I commend these scriptures to you to think and pray through. Some weeks ago we heard from 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, where the Macedonians gave more than they really should have done, I think. But they gave out of their poverty because they saw that there was a greater need elsewhere. They were thinking more globally. We've heard the situation in Pakistan this morning. We've heard about Yemen. We have people working abroad to bring God's kingdom abroad. So we need to intentionally think about what we are giving to MIE, what we are giving to support the church worldwide. I'm not able to cover all the scriptures this morning that we would think about. But I did wonder, reading the scriptures, about the widow's mite. You know, there's Jesus sitting outside the treasury. And he's seeing the affluent people almost throwing, this is my interpretation, throwing their 50-pound notes into the treasury. You know, loose change in their pockets. And then the widow comes along and she puts the equivalent of 2 farthings into the treasury, and Jesus says, she has given all that she has. I wonder whether in both of those situations there's intentional giving there, maybe with the widow. But should she have given everything? Should she have given everything? Something for you to ponder on. So, 3 ideas for our giving. That it's proportionate, that it's generous, that it's intentional. I commend those words to you. But also, giving to MIE involves more than money. It's our times, it's our skills, as well as our money. We have this building project, and part of that building project locally is to plant new churches. If we're going to plant new churches, we'll need new resources. You're the resources. Oh, how can I help? Help with the coffee. Oh, why not volunteer to read a lesson? Lead the prayers. Build up. Become an elder. Hey, I'm not going to go on forever. You won't have me as a reader forever. We need more readers in the future. Think about training for local ministry. So our giving is more than just money. It's our time, it's our skills as well. To conclude our 2 weeks thinking about money and giving, I want to share this sentence from the American pastor John Piper. It almost sums up our thinking. Fallout with the love of money. Fall in love with Jesus.